This is the Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.
I'm joined by Claire Liddy. Of course, you're a spokesperson from Palestine GAA Club, which is based in Al-Amari. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, in Al-Amari refugee camp, to have a chat about your upcoming tour of Ireland. Claire, thanks so much for joining me. It's great to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me.
So I didn't even know that there was a GAA club in Palestine until I heard about this upcoming tour. I'm sure others are the same as me. When was the club actually set up, and how did it come about?
It came about last January, 12 months, when Stephen Redmond would have went out on a trip to the West Bank, and he visited Al-Khalil and then the Amari camp, which is based in Ramallah. And then the idea kind of developed from there, because obviously sport, you know, it unites people. It's solidarity, and just in terms of what was happening with Gaza and obviously the West Bank. And then it kind of started growing legs. It was, you know, obviously there was a few people in the background, himself and Dennis Grace, who would be the co-founders. Yeah. And then I was going out to the West Bank last July on a humanitarian mission with a different organisation. And I've been out in Palestine before, and anywhere I go, I always bring Hurleys. And it's like, well, I never played Gaelic. It was always Camogie.
Yeah.
And especially after winning the All-Ireland, it's like, I can't go out without Hurleys. So I just got wind in from Gordon Kelly, and he's in Gales for Gaza, that there was something in the pipeline about GAA Palestine. And I spoke to Stephen, and just look or fate would have it. It was being set up. The first club was in the Amari camp, which is now known as the Mota Tatsur Club.
Okay.
And so I would have, I managed to get all the Hurleys in, and it just kind of went from there. We got the Instagram, the social media pages up and running. People saw what we were doing. We've got a great team of volunteers now that are doing phenomenal work. I went back out again in January with Cahill. I had been in Lebanon for 2 months, mm-hmm. and I came home and I said, you know what, I'll just go out, for another trip just to see how they're getting on. And I guess when we were out there, the situation had gotten even worse than when I was there in July. And I think we felt as a group, if we don't bring them over like this summer, you know, with everything, you can see what's going on now.
For sure.
There might not be a West Bank. A lot of them have been displaced since I was out there in January. I mean, if you spoke to me every day from January till now, because I'm in contact with them all the time, mm-hmm. I literally can tell you war crimes that are happening to these people every single day. I guess this is why we were like the tour. There's been an awful lot of work, and like I have to say fair play to all the volunteers and the people in Ireland who have come on board with the support. It's just been phenomenal, and that's the only reason why. I mean, I came back at the end of January. We said, look, we have to get them over now. And it's been very challenging, you know, with the visas and the passports. But obviously now with the situation, or hopefully we'll get them here. But there's always been barriers. It was never 100% because they obviously have to travel in their own home country through, there's nearly 1,000 checkpoints just in a small area. But yeah, as I say, if the will of Ireland will get them here, they'll be here in the morning.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you know, in such a war-torn country, you know, it must be nice in a way to have sport as a focal point for something to look forward to. And, you know, the GAA brings so much joy to people here in Ireland, but it's nice to hear that, you know, you've got an organisation there where people can play sport and they can look forward to something.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, like most children, you know, they love sports, and they just want to be children. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, one of the pitches that was donated to us within a week was destroyed. So they're facing these kind of challenges and they're being displaced. But in fairness, like they have come together, and like a lot of people go, why did you pick hurling over Gaelic? I didn't play Gaelic, and they fell in love with hurling. And just to see them play the first game, because we were training them, obviously doing drills, and you know we couldn't train them for like about 2 weeks on grass because they didn't have the facility.
Yeah.
And then to see them playing their first game on the grass, now they were absolutely winded because obviously, you know, they're kind of going, oh, you know, the drills, it's not as exciting as the game. And then to see them, they were like, they just loved it. And that's been it. It's just been hurling. And they can feel the love and the support from Ireland And I mean, the offers that we've gotten, we've like the transportation, we paddy wagon, they've provided a bus. We've had other transport companies. We have a jewelry designer in Galway designing jewelry for them, just a one-off. With people offering accommodation, meals, kits. It's just, just to, it'll just be, I think, to give them this 2 weeks, like what every child should have, like even a holiday. I mean, they live near the sea, but they can't go to the sea. They've never seen the sea. It's only 30 minutes from their home. So like put yourself in their shoes, and as a parent, having to live through that, and because of the escalation, the families can't work, they can't get to work, because it can take hours, and they're normally not let through. So every day is just a challenge. So just to get them over here, and just to show them, look, the people, there, you can be a child, and hopefully this nightmare and justice will prevail. But it's mad to think that we're still talking about this decades later, and especially 2 years later, that this still goes on in the world.
Can you give us a little bit of a brief overview on, the GAA Palestine Summer Tour? I know you've spoken about a lot of how the Irish people have come together to try and make this happen, and of course the people around you. But how did it come about to actually plan the GAA Palestine Tour for 2025? And what's the main purpose of it?
So the two, like I said, we just felt, when we were over there, and the children were even picked learning Irish words, and they're very interested in the history, especially the adults. When we were over there, we goes, you know what, it would be great to get them over. And because of the interest when we were there, and there was donations coming in, and we said, so we were going to start it with a small group, and then obviously you were like, oh, who do we bring? And the children were going to train, and you want to bring them all. And so that took a couple of months. And just basically all of the volunteers came together. We split up into different groups, worked to our strengths. And there's a core group of volunteers there. And obviously the GAA clubs and the GAA came in, and they have been so supportive. And we wouldn't be able to do this only for that. And so we have the GAA clubs in Dublin, in Carlow, in Tipperary, in Cork, in Clare, in Galway, in Derry, in Belfast, in Leitrim, and obviously the GAA themselves. So like obviously it's been just a huge, huge effort just from a lot of people. And yeah, they will leave 3 weeks tomorrow, and they will arrive into Dublin on Friday, July the 18th, and they should arrive to an amazing welcome. I know there's a lot of Irish people waiting for them to land, and then they'll go to Dublin, where they will spend is it 3 or 4 nights in Dublin? I can't remember. And they will have they're getting a VIP tour of Croke Park, and
Lovely.
they're going to the zoo, and they're going to the beach. Just each GAA club is kind of taking ownership of the activities, so they'll have a different experience in each county. So it's very like cultural, sporting. And obviously then they'll get to meet their Irish counterparts. And it's been funny because there's been several fundraisers over the last few weeks, and I always try and go to them if I can. And I've pictures of the children playing hurling. And at one fundraiser, the kids were coming up, and they were like, oh my God, that's a Torpy, because obviously it's, they were like, oh. And so I showed them the videos of the children playing, and the looks on their faces, because I don't think they realized that they would be so good. And they were saying, oh, can we play them? And I said, yeah, of course. And the parents and the coaches were there. I said, they're coming to Ireland. And then next thing, oh, can we go over and play them? And obviously the blood drained from the parents' faces, and the look of shock. But and I hope this gets people thinking that, these are kids, they should be allowed to be kids. And obviously we're trying to get them to Ireland, but obviously their Irish counterparts can't go over and play them. So just to get people looking at what's happening and just seeing it for everything it is.
I know, Claire, that obviously you were looking for donations of GAA gear and some to maybe host families to take part. If our listeners are looking to, actually help in some way or try and give a little bit of support, maybe this is the first time that they've actually had a listen to a first-hand experience of somebody who's been over there and so graciously helped communities over there. How can our listeners support the trip in any way?
And so they can go on our social media pages. There's the Instagram, Facebook, there's a TikTok, and Twitter, and then obviously the website. So there's donation links there. The hosting is done through the GA clubs. It's like the Fela model. So that would be the ownership of the GA clubs. So that's all, obviously, the vetting is going on at the moment. But in terms of, you know, they can just reach out and contact us if they, you know, some people, like I said, had reached out. They wanted to create like a special like jewelry for them, or you know, a kit, or just even maybe offer a picnic. Just obviously, you know, I don't want to be telling people you have to give money because some people don't have it. But any like small token, even just to stand on a bridge if they know that the bus is passing, you know, to welcome them or to go to the airport, just to give them that Irish welcome. You know, that we know Ireland is famous for, just to follow their story. We'll be putting up on, you know, the social media now. We'll be introducing the team. And like we've camogie clubs now. We've started. When I was out there, I would have taken the first group of girls. And they love sport as well. And so we've two female camogie trainers coming over. You know, and like they're beyond excited. They can't wait to come to Ireland. So obviously we just want to give them that Irish welcome that we're famous for, and show them the best 2 weeks of their life, which, you know, I can nearly guarantee that, because there's so much being planned, the itinerary. Like there's people, and like we understand that, you know, every county wants them to visit, but they only have 2 weeks. But yeah, this is hopefully just the beginning.
The Hub Podcast with Louise Clark.